You're listening to Rendezvous with the Writer with Bobby Jean and Jim Bell, only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to Rendezvous with a Writer, where readers and writers meet.
And story is everything.
We're your hosts tonight, Jim and Bobby Bell. You've just been listening to the Hot Texas Swing Band. Our buddy Alex Dormont.
We thank Alex for that music that opens and closes the show every night. Jim, we are so excited for tonight's show.
It's going to be a fun show.
This is episode 182. If you're watching live, it will immediately replay on Rendezvous with a Writer Facebook page, LA Talk Radio Facebook page, and later tonight, the audio will be up on Podbean and on all your favorite platforms. And it'll also be on LA Talk Radio YouTube. So you will want to see this show again. We promise that. So, where are we broadcasting from tonight?
Well, I'll tell you, we are in the beautiful Taguion Complex in Hollywood for a black tie event. Everybody is dressed to the nines. It's the annual Writers and Illustrators of the Future Gala. Wait, there's a big commotion in the main room. Somebody just said that one of the characters in one of the illustrations just came to life. I sure hope it's not the serial killer.
Is he in a tuxedo?
I don't think he meets the dress code.
Who are our guests joining us tonight, Jim?
Oh, the Galaxy Press team. It's John Goodwin, Emily Goodwin.
And here they come on screen. Hello, John and Emily, and who else is with us?
We have writer Michael Kuster, and we have illustrator Nathan Dywert.
Hello. Oh, my gosh. We were all together, can you believe it, just 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Amazing.
We were.
And John and Emily, you're returning. I think this might be your fourth time with us. And we look forward to many more. And we got to finally see you, like, you know, one-on-one.
In the flesh.
So fun. Yeah.
When you guys come up, we thought you were like the hired dancers coming in there and your and your...
We don't dance. We don't sing. We don't yodel. We don't recite poetry. And we are not authors or illustrators. But we just love all of you that are. So we're happy you're with us tonight. So we just mentioned quickly. So John is what is John?
John's president of Galaxy Press. He runs the show.
Yeah, we need him in other president capacities. I have a feeling. But yes, of Galaxy Press.
However. Miss Goodwin.
Yeah.
Is the real boss.
Vice president of
the president of
author services.
Author services. And I believe at the awards ceremony, Emily, author services was honored a special plaque, wasn't it? Weren't you?
Yes, we were actually. It was from the Independent Book Publishers Association for having published over 1,000 writers and illustrators through the Writers of the Future contest.
Isn't that amazing? Yeah, that's a big congratulations. And then, of course, we have two award winners with us. And John, which one are you introducing?
So I'm going to be introducing Michael Kuster. And Michael is, I don't know, he writes these stories that like gives you nightmares. So, so befriend him with due regard to what he'll do to your mind if you're at all sensitive to things that go boom in the night.
Mm-hmm. And you know, when Michael came up to do his acceptance.
He was a grand prize winner too. So evidently he rocks it. And he rocks it.
Hailing all from Cincinnati. And he gave a great speech from Cincinnati. And
everybody saw Cincinnati and.
Yes.
Yeah.
So welcome, Michael.
Welcome, Michael. And Michael, when you came up to accept the first of the two awards, you just simply said, "I'm Michael. I'm Mike, and I write science fiction." And I, boy, you can't get any more simple than that, can you? Welcome so much. And then we have Nathan. Who's introducing Nathan?
Nathan is an illustrator winner this year for Illustrators of the Future. Fantastic art, which I think we'll be showing you in the show tonight. But he is also a teacher, right, Nathan?
Yes. I'm an adjunct professor where I also teach illustration.
Amazing, yes, and extremely talented. Both of the guests tonight are very talented. They both won the international contest against thousands of other entries every quarter, and they did an amazing job, and we were very privileged to be able to meet them in Hollywood recently.
And it seemed as though, as we watched the night unfold, the two of you were in front of cameras and microphones the entire red carpet time, and then even afterwards, we finally got to meet Nathan, and he signed our book for us. Michael, we never got back to you once the dinner and award show was over. They must have stopped talking to you at some point.
Yeah, they let me off the stage eventually, but there were a lot of cameras, a lot of interviews, the busy life of a very minor celebrity.
It didn't end there. I had to, like, the next day, they were in workshops and interviews, and finally, I think it was 9 o'clock at night. They were still in an interview, and I brought them some pizza because I knew they were starving.
Oh yeah,
oh my gosh! So that was on Friday. Was that on Friday?
Friday was a good day for us. We had I had Bafu and Michael as the two grand prize winners. We were first up. It was at 10 o'clock.
The podcast was
10 o'clock. Oh. At 11 o'clock, you had video interviews. Then you had lunch. And then we had the 5 hours of workshop in the afternoon. And then we had more podcast interviews in the evening afterwards.
Yep.
And then it was over.
no rest for the weary.
I was going to say, it's pretty intense. It wasn't all fun and games, was it?
No.
Yeah.
So very quickly, John and Emily, where are you tonight?
We are in Los Angeles, right on Hollywood Boulevard, where the workshops happened 2 weeks ago.
You maybe toured this room here. This is the Writers of the Future library, and behind us are a photo gallery of all of our judges. And then to Emily's right is a library with all the different books from winners. And then on the left, there's a photo gallery of a lot of the venues where we've held our workshops in the years past.
Mm-hmm. Did we see that room?
No, we're not contestants.
It was blocked off. No, we couldn't get in.
Maybe in the future. And let's see, Nathan, where are you tonight?
So I am here in Indiana, normally in Greensburg, but tonight I'm in Greenfield, just pretty close, not too far difference distance-wise. But yeah, so I come to you right now from small town Indiana.
All right. And Mike or Michael? Do you like Mike or Michael?
I prefer Mike.
Okay. And where are you?
I am coming to you from sunny Cincinnati, Ohio. Long-time home.
Good.
Across three time zones.
Yeah.
It's amazing what you can do online. Three time zones, no worries. Let's see.
Do we want to talk about the contest?
Yes. Go ahead and ask an opening contest question.
What's this contest all about?
Yeah, that goes to John and Emily. Tell us a little bit about the background of the contest and all that good stuff and how people enter right now.
Sure. Well, I'll talk about the history of the contest, and Emily will talk about how people enter. So in 1983, after Owen Hubbard published Battlefield Earth, and did his reentry back into science fiction to celebrate 50 years as a professional writer, he launched his contest for writers. It's called Writers of the Future. He had a long history of helping writers over the years in the 30s and 40s, and with several essays, which are the essays that are used in the writing workshop. So we started it then, and we had Algis Budrus, which was a very famous editor at the time and was friends with Owen Hubbard, who brought on several other major authors, like the guy that wrote Dune, Frank Herbert, became one of our first judges. And McCaffrey's one of our first judges. famous authors, and it continued to grow. And now we're 42 years later, with not only continued having these famous authors like Orson Scott Card. He came on board in the first couple of years. He's still a judge for us, and he's one of the most renowned authors. Larry Niven is a grandmaster of science fiction. So with these artists and writers on board for the contest, we started with writers, then we added the illustrators contest, and it was created so that the aspiring writer and artist can have a chance for the works to be seen and acknowledged. And Mr. Hubbard set it up so that he funded the contest, so it's free to enter, and the winners are flown out to a very fancy gala, which we each year we're tasked, actually Emily's tasked with how to make it better each year because she's the producer for the event. But anyway, so Emily can talk then a bit about the rules and stuff like that.
So it's an international contest. We get entries from all over the world. It's done quarterly. So the next deadline is at the end of June, and then following that end of September, and then the end of the year. And then we start over and it goes end of March. But each quarter we get entries from all over the world. It's free to enter, like John mentioned. You maintain the rights to your work. So once you enter a story and if you win, you still can publish your story or art elsewhere. It belongs to you. We just have a one-time publishing right for it. It is an amateur contest, so we don't want authors that are well-established. Like, we're not going to have Tim Powers getting judged by Larry Niven. It's not exactly fair. We're trying to give a voice to people that are not necessarily already professionals. So it's an amateur contest. So on the writing side, you can submit if you are an amateur, which is deemed, having, like, let's say you have three short stories, but they have to be professional rates, which is deemed over eight cents or more a word. Or if you're putting it up yourself, like self-publishing it on Amazon, if you've had 5,000 sales or hits on it. We're looking for original content and in speculative fiction, sci-fi, fantasy, dark fantasy, and otherwise it's up to 17,000 words. That's an important thing on the writing side. And then on the illustrator side, it has to be original, and both sides, no AI, no AI stories, no AI art. And we do run it through AI generators to make sure that we are not receiving, we want the talent. We want human creativity. We very much still believe in that. And so there is no AI in the contest. And on the illustrator side, if you're making a living with your illustration, obviously you wouldn't be qualified. That you put some art up and you have a few local sales is not going to disqualify you. But if you're making a living with your art, then you would not be qualified. So, it's very open. And if you want to find out more about the rules, you can go to writersofthefuture.com, and there's both contest rules are right there. And that's where you can enter.
It really is international, because we have winners this year from eight countries this year, winners. So, and we've had entries from over 175 countries. So it really is global in scope.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Yeah.
Now, Emily, do you send out invitations to folks, or is it entirely up to illustrators and writers to reach out to you?
Yeah, it's up to people to enter. Sometimes Joni, who's the administrator for the contest, she will, send a nudge of somebody who's entered before. Maybe somebody entered and they got an honorable mention, and she'll say, she'll encourage them to re-enter, because you can re-enter as many times as you like. If you don't win, you can continue entering until you do.
Four times a year.
Four times a year, as long as you. So she might send a nudge out like, hey, do you have another story to enter? Hey, you have three more pieces of art to enter. So, but otherwise, no, people find us online usually.
Well, we rely also on our good friends like yourselves to get the word out to all your listeners, that they find out, wow, I'm a writer or an artist and really want to be able to make the next step. Or I know somebody who's like, they're really good, but they're just so self-conscious. They're so like, I know they're good. If they submit it, we've had it before where Joni, who's a contest director, has called somebody and said, congratulations. They said, for what? For winning Writers of the Future. I didn't enter. And all of a sudden, the spouse entered them.
They got it.
Well, that's great. So, Mike, you're both going to answer this question. We'll start, though, Mike, with you. How did you get notified that you were a winner, and what was your first response?
So it started actually with me getting a phone call from a Los Angeles area code. And at first, I had no idea what this was. And I then started thinking about Writers of the Future. And it's like, oh, okay. So I looked it up and found out, sure enough, I listened to the voicemail. It was from Joni Labaqui. She's the contest director. Mm-hmm. And it started, the voicemail started out with, "Michael, are you excited? Because I'm excited." Mm-hmm. And at that point, everything kind of tightened up a little. And before I listened to the whole thing and called her back, I cried a lot, actually, because it's when you spend so long like shouting into the void, doing everything you can to try to make it, just knowing that someone else is listening is a huge weight off of your shoulders.
I can totally understand that. Well, congratulations. And
let me ask you this. When you found out, she told you you were a winner. What was the next step? How did that work? Did you have to do any rewrites or anything? Or the manuscript was complete as it was? And how did you get hooked up with an illustrator?
First of all, with the editing, like, but behind every great writer is an even better editor who tells them what they did wrong. And no matter how good of a story you submit, you know that you're going to end up going through editing. Things are going to change. And so, of course, the editing on this anthology was handled by Jody Lynn Nye, award-winning author, as well as Maliva Koch, who's the senior managing editor. I did a lot of work with her. And between the two of them, they found so many things that I and critique partners and beta readers had missed over countless rereads.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. So, sorry. Go ahead. No, finish.
Oh, just as far as the illustrators, I didn't have a choice on who was illustrating my story. That was up to John and Emily.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Okay. So Nathan, did you get a call also? Was it similar?
Yeah. A little bit different in my case. I actually ended up getting two calls. First time was like the week before, like 4 or 5 days before. I was like, you know, playing a video game with my brother and his friend. Mm-hmm. And I was like, unknown number, what's this? And then I call, and then it's just all of a sudden, Joni all excited. Hey, you're a finalist. You're in the running to be a winner. And then like that following Sunday, because I was told, you know, expect sometime between Sunday and Tuesday to hear back whether or not you win. And then I was on a date with my girlfriend, and then I get the call, and I'm just like, you know, the first call, I'm like, oh crap, this is happening. You know, this might actually be happening. And it was a very exciting thing, because it's like, oh man, you know, I've been pushing for this, you know, for the first few quarters of the, you know, year's entries. And then it finally happened with that second call. I was like, you know, I was just like, yes, you know, I couldn't contain it in the moment. It was very exciting, because in my case, obviously, gotten to know so many of the past winners and have met some of the judges. And so, you know, it's a lot of these people that I look up to and that I've gotten the chance to be around. So it's, for me, it's like I knew I wanted to take part, especially knowing who some of the original judges were.
Mm-hmm. Well, how did you get the assignment, though, to do the illustration for Michael?
Yeah, so, you know, started December, end of November rolls around, and I get the email being like, hey, here's your story in living color. Okay. And I was like, okay, I'm going to be reading this the next couple of days, kind of taking notes, you know, what kind of imagery stands out to me. Mm-hmm. And quite literally, one of the first ideas I was coming up with, I actually showed Mike my thumbnails when we were at the workshop. Of like, basically, it was like a variation of my first idea ended up being what I used, for the final artwork.
Yeah.
Yeah, you didn't start reading the story and say, how am I going to make an illustration?
Yeah, it is very interesting. In my case, it's like I knew almost right away what I wanted to do. because in my case, I'm more of a high fantasy type illustrator. Maybe I touch into science fiction a little bit, but mostly like high fantasy, because I've been working in independent third-party games. So that's what I'm used to. So this was actually a completely different genre from what I normally do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'm just looking at time when we've got lots of it, but we're just going to go ahead and break away for our first little ad spot. And when we come back, we're just going to be continuing. Isn't this fun?
It is.
I hope you're all having fun. And to our listeners, I hope you're having fun. And we're going to step away for a moment. Are you a writer? Our sponsors, Blue Cottage Agency and Clicks by Madison, are standing by to assist you. Here's a special offer created just for you. And when we come back, we're going to be talking a bit more and jumping right into an in-depth look into the award-winning story and illustration In Living Color. You don't want to go away. We'll be right back. Authors, welcome home. Every author needs a website, a home base for their brand. Professionally showcase your books and brand with a custom website landing page starting at $369. Bluebookshelf.com. It's a great feeling to be home. Contact the Blue Cottage team today to get started.
Welcome back. Welcome back to Ronnie Rudy Writer. We're talking, talking with John and Emily Goodwin of Galaxy Press. We're talking to Michael Kuster, renowned author, and Nathan Dywert, renowned artist.
The award winners now. Yay!
You know,
pretty cool having those types of appendages now to your name.
Best seller. They're both in a best-selling anthology.
Yes, yes, so exciting.
Did you hold it up again?
And that all just happened. Well, I was going to go, I'm just flipping it.
Okay, the illustration?
Yeah, okay. Emily's got the book cover, and then I'll hold up, and then later on we can switch because, Emily, you have a better picture. Oh, Emily's got the picture, and that is the award-winning illustration that goes along with Mike's story In Living Color, and then John just put up the dragon a moment ago, I think, which we all had one on our centerpiece, and one of the winning authors just grabbed it off my table before I even had a chance to think about taking it.
Well, that's right. That's right.
Well, it's okay. It was better for him to have it.
Well, Michael, let's talk about In Living Color. What was the inspiration for you for the story?
So the way I write short fiction, it's all completely spur of the moment. It's just off the top of my head. I sit down with a blank page, empty my mind, and just start writing whatever comes to it. And this entire story began with this idea of a man touching a painting and then finding himself walking through Monet's garden. And from there, things just kind of evolved organically. Well, what does he do for a living? Well, he has this ability. What can he do with that? And I started thinking, well, obviously the police would want to be able to talk to someone like this and have them analyze crime scene photos. And the story just evolved from there. It took on a life of its own.
And when did the title come to you?
You know, it's funny. Usually when I'm writing short fiction, I will change the title about 7 or 8 times over the course of writing the story. With this one, I wrote the title after writing the first paragraph. I typed the title up at the top of the story, and it never changed.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. In your acceptance speech, which was charming, gentlemen, we went back, and you can watch the video, and it's wonderful from beginning to end, but we were looking specifically, you know, for your acceptance speeches. And you said that this story wrecked your life for a week.
Yes.
This Mike, story how did it have that impact? Yeah, how did it have that impact on you?
So I like to say that when you're a writer, sooner or later, whether you mean to or not, you end up on the page. And your feelings, if not your experiences themselves, your feelings end up translating into every story. And so you end up feeling all of this. And so when I was writing this story, as it got darker and darker, it was miserable. I was withdrawn. I got kind of snappish. I stopped talking to my friends. I started having nightmares.
Wow.
And like the nightmares were not actually about what was happening in the story, but at the same time, it was like I hadn't had nightmares in years. I knew what was causing this. So I generally take about a week to write a short story. I usually start them on Sunday or Monday, and I wrap up on Saturday night. By the Thursday of the week that I wrote this, it was in February, I was telling my friends, I can't wait to be done with the story. I'm so ready to be done with this.
So, well, go ahead. You go.
We were talking, Bobby and I were talking earlier, and we've asked some authors who write thrillers, do you ever have a character that scares you? And actually, we had one fellow once said, yeah, I had one that did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It kind of reminds me of what you were just talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, when you were describing the main, in your story, the August is able to enter a painting. It sounds to me like you, the author, you entered the story.
Yeah,
and you were having the same submersive experience that he was having, right?
Yeah.
August is the protagonist, but the antagonist was intense because he could be anybody. I mean, that's what was crazy about your story there, Mike.
Yeah, that's the whole idea behind the antagonist, behind Mueller, was that I wanted to create someone where, like, you would think, like, if you met this guy on the street and had no idea who he was, you'd probably like him. You know, he's conversational, he's witty, he has an easy smile, and you have no idea what kind of person you're talking to. Only August can see this guy as he is because, thanks to his abilities, he doesn't see just the person. He sees this all-consuming darkness behind his eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Very gripping story. Definitely keeps you along as you're reading, for sure. Then, of course, the artwork splats the entire thing right in your face.
Right in your face.
All of it.
Yeah. Before we ask Nathan, I just, one more time, Mike, did an illustration come to your mind as you were writing?
You know, one of the first things I told Nathan once I actually saw the illustration and we actually met was, as a writer, you're picturing everything that's going on in the story. Like, you have this image in your mind at any given time. And this was one of the few stories I've written where I really had no idea. Like, I couldn't actually visualize an illustration in my head.
Wow. All right. Let's switch over to Nathan. You have a good opening question for Nathan.
Well, let's talk about the illustration a little bit. You had said earlier that you kind of got an idea how this was going to play out, how it was going to go. Did you finish? How long did it take you to finish that illustration? Was that a day or two or a week or?
So I really took my time through working on this piece to make sure I got it right. I worked on it through the course of December, through that entire month.
Okay.
So I really wanted to create as strong of a piece and as faithful of a piece to the story as I could.
Well, it seems to me you get all the main characters, the main ideas.
Oh, yeah. We even have the water lilies there.
Yeah. The way I went back and I kept going back and studying the picture.
I can't.
The illustration.
Look, and I have to look away.
Yeah, I thought, okay, we got a protagonist. We got our bad guy. We got our victim. We have Monet.
Yeah,
I thought you did a pretty good job wrapping that all together. I guess the judges did too.
Yeah.
Nathan, in your acceptance speech, you said, I knew right away my medium would be oils. And because I did wonder about that too. How did you decide on oils?
Well, I knew it was going to be a possibility going into it because I, over the last few years, both in academic practice through my master's degree and, you know, work that I was doing for independent games, you know, that kind of smaller scale work, I started to push working in oils more because I really enjoyed the feel of it. And I knew it was a possibility that I was going to do the piece in oils anyways. But as soon as I had, you know, the descriptions of the Monet painting and the painting at the end of the story, Mm-hmm. I knew, like, there was no other way I could have done this. I knew I had to do it in oils. And now I'm someone that's very intrigued by the history of illustration and how illustration history and art history blend together. So for me, I knew how important the work of Monet is and how that has influenced the illustrators of the last 100 years. And I knew I had to do something with it.
Yeah, I have to tell you, yesterday, I do work outside of the home. And yesterday, a guest that came into the place where I work was carrying a beautiful tote bag with water lilies on it. Mm-hmm. And it even said down at the bottom, you know, Water Lilies by Monet. And I looked at that and then I thought, you know, I'll never look at water lilies the same again. It was very surreal that, you know, this would come into my life yesterday. When you, Mike, when you saw the painting for the first time, what was your, do you recall an immediate response?
I gasped. So, you know, when we were all going in there, all of us writers, of course, we had no idea what our illustrators, our illustrations looked like. We had never met our illustrators. And all of us, we were talking, we all had the same fear. Like, what if we're like the one person who can't find our illustrations? So we're going around studying all of them. We can't figure it out. And our illustrators on the is off on the side like, oh, God. So I studied every single illustration. I went down the line from the very beginning. I studied each one of them very carefully, thinking I need to look for details that will identify this. And then I got to Nathan's illustration and I literally stepped back and gasped. There was absolutely no question. I knew exactly which one this was.
Oh my gosh. Nathan, were you given a set dimensions or anything that, you know, that you, like, we understand the author said some things about what number of word count and all that. Were you given some dimensions to work with?
Yes, actually. So when I was looking at this, when I got the piece started, you know, one of the first things I was making sure about, even ahead of time, before I even knew what piece I was getting, is like, oh, the, in the book, you got to consider potentially the main dimensions being 6.5 inches by 10.5 inches. So when I painted it, I doubled that scale because it's actually, the scale is about a third of the dimensions of what I painted it in the, of what shows up in the book. Cause I think in the book, it's a little smaller than 6.5 by 10.5. So when I did it, it was 13 inches by 21 inches.
Okay. And then before you, did you upload it? Did you like express overnight a, you know, the original, or did you upload it somehow?
So one of the big things, and you actually see with a lot of illustrators who paint traditionally nowadays, is they'll either scan it or do what I did in this case is I photographed it. So I have to set up lighting and then I use DSLR camera. You know, doing these like lighting settings, making sure like the ISO is turned down low and slow shutter speed and all that stuff. So once I took the photograph, I then pulled it into Photoshop where I did some digital touch up. So if there's any like dust marks or anything like that, I clean that up. And then like I touch up the color slightly to make sure it's closer to the painting.
Yeah, that's so interesting.
It is.
Do you have a question?
I do. I want to ask a process question, Nathan, which we'll also ask to Michael. How do you work? Do you work in a silent little room with a lot of light or a little light, or you have noise in the background or some crazy music playing?
Or plain air and you go outside? Or
Nathan, where do you like first?
Yeah, I'll go first. So I have been bouncing back and forth. There's a video game soundtrack that's done in French. And that soundtrack completely blew me away last year. I've been obsessed with it. But the other thing is during the time I was working on that painting, I think I went through 2 or 3 of the Dungeon Crawler Carl books on Audible while I was painting. Oh. So I was just either music or audiobooks just the entire way through. Because one thing I've learned as an illustrator is I don't get to read like I used to. So audiobooks is how I get to enjoy fiction nowadays.
Well, fortunately, with all that listening, you didn't paint a cat in the picture or your character in boxer shorts, if that's what you were listening to.
Fair enough, you know.
Oh, and Mike, what about you? Do you have you talked about Sunday to, you know, work carving out the time, but tell us a little bit about your favorite place to work and such.
So I generally write either in my home office, but I don't have a lamp at my desk, so it's a little dark, or I will go out very late at night once everybody else is asleep to a cafe here in Cincinnati. That spot is actually where I've written a lot of my stories. However, In Living Color is unique in that I wrote the entire thing sitting at my desk at home in the dark.
In the dark.
Yeah. And I do always listen to music.
Little strange noises in the background.
It's dark. Maybe the key to that one. When you were both called up to the stage together, you were receiving your awards. It was just a magical moment. We knew we had met you on the red carpet and we knew we were going to talk to you tonight. So we felt a little special, you know, extra connection. But when you went up and you both were holding the gorgeous, oh my gosh, the gorgeous award, you did a little pantomime. And I'm going to tell viewers, if you watch the video, it's about 1 hour and 46 minutes in or so. And it is worth, you should watch the whole event. The keynote speaker was phenomenal. All the acceptance speeches are authentic and heartfelt. And it's really, really special. But these two did a little something different, didn't you? What'd you do?
So that was Nathan's idea. He came up with
this. Yeah, I thought it was so fun because people were talking about, oh, should we do something fun? Should we do celebratory stuff? And it's just like, wait, I have an idea. How about we act out the murder scene in my illustration? So I ended up, like, I literally, like, oh, God, let's hope I don't get in trouble for asking this. I was like, hey, you know, I would like to try to act this out. Can we practice it a couple times so we don't drop our trophies on stage?
Yeah.
Well, and you know, all of us that were there that evening received a complimentary, you know, copy of the book, but we had not read the story yet. But the first thing that I did, of course, when I got it, was I was just looking through. And so I had right away looked at the illustrations and found, Nathan, your illustration immediately. But I only knew the illustration. I didn't know the story. But boy, you two in that moment, they caught it, didn't they, Emily and John?
Yeah.
There's one thing I want to clarify. You got a free copy of the book because you came in as press.
You came in as press, yes.
You got it because you're pressed. You were like,
we came
in. We're getting trouble here.
And we have purchased it also because we just needed to both have a copy of it. It's just
actually, we gave it to you because we thought you were the dancers that were coming in to perform.
I don't know if we come back next year. I don't know.
Okay,
I don't think we can.
Work
I don't think we can top it. So.
Nathan, when we were doing the rehearsal the day before the big event, he was like, is this going to work? Can we do this? And I was like, but they hadn't quite done it as elaborate as they were going to do at the event itself. And I was like, sure. And then when they did it at the event, I was like, oh, that's so awesome. Anybody who knows the story of the art is going to get it right away. Otherwise, you have to get to get the book to understand what they just did.
Yeah. And every story is, you will remember every story. I remember stories from last year's anthology that have stayed with me all this time. Let's see. I'm looking at time, but we have another moment before we're going to take our last break. So, Michael, if you could sit down with any author or scientist, this may be calling you out on the spot, but who might it be and what might you ask?
I got to be honest, until now, I would have had an answer, and that would have been, I wanted to sit down with Orson Scott Card. I did that. He and I actually worked together. We had our tux fitting together. And it was really incredible just sitting and just having a normal conversation with an author. I was like, I mean, it's so hard to not just be like, I read your book in middle school. It changed my life.
Just gush, right?
Oh, yeah.
We were so starry-eyed, truly, no pun intended, on the red carpet because we hadn't met any of these dignitaries, and we were just like kids with our mouths open. We had to remind each other, close your mouth and smile, because we'd never been to anything like it before. And Steve Moyer, who was in charge of press, is a phenomenal guy, so organized, so on top of it. And he kept saying to us, who do you want to talk to next? And don't you have a movie camera to put on your shoulder? And you're not interviewing people. And we're like, Steve, we're just observers here. We want to talk to Michael and Nathan, and we'd like to meet Mike Strickland, and we'd love to see John and Emily, but we're just really starstruck.
We didn't come for the New York Times.
Nathan, is there an artist or an illustrator or a writer or somebody you would love to be able to sit down with?
That is interesting. At this point, I'm actually kind of already achieving that on the illustrator front because I've gotten to meet so many. So I guess I would have to pivot over to the writer front. Mm-hmm. And I think one of the big ones for me, well, I guess you can also do writer and illustrator combo here, is the artist Michael Whalen and the writer Brandon Sanderson.
Okay.
But you had a neat experience too, Nathan, right? Because I know we didn't have Bob Eggleton at the live event. He did it. He did his workshop via Zoom. But then you got to chat with him afterwards too, right?
Oh, yeah. That's actually, I've been very fortunate to get to know Bob over these last few years. Actually, my first time interacting with him, we watched a bunch of Godzilla videos together at a LuxCon. So it was very cool, you know, someone that I was a fan with, that we had an interaction, not as me being a fan of him, but both of us being a fan of the same thing.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
he'll probably be at DragonCon this year. If you're going to be able to make it out there, he's coming. Him and I have been in touch with him and connecting him up with the DragonCon people.
Yeah. Okay, we're going to step away for one more moment. When we come back, we're going to find out what everybody's up to next. We're going to step away to tell you about one of the places you can order the books of many of our author guests, including tonight's Writers and Illustrators of the Future, Volume 42. You can find the books on our Out West Shop affiliate page on bookshop.org. And when we come back, we'll be talking more with these award winners, so don't go away. We'll be right back. Story is everything. Find a great one on Out West Shop's bookshop. Go to outwestshop.com, find books and CDs on the menu, choose Shop Out West on bookshop.org. Browse through featured authors on Rendezvous with a Writer. Explore curated book lists and our featured picks. Add in note cards, calendars, and jigsaw puzzles. One-stop shopping for great gifts. Use the search box to find thousands more titles. Make the switch. Your purchase supports us as independent booksellers. That's our story.
Welcome back. I'm Uber the Writer. Michael, what's going on next? And where can we find you?
Yeah.
So I like to say that the work of an aspiring writer is never done. And as much as this is an incredible accomplishment, I'm still aspiring. So the first thing I've been telling everyone is I'm not done. I have a novel that I'm querying, another one that I'm going to be working on and hoping to finish this year. I have a lot of short fiction submissions out there, and another of my stories will be appearing in Analog Science Fiction and Fact in their July-August issue. So if you're looking to follow me, you can find me on Twitter at Michael T. Kuster. You can find me on Blue Sky at michaeltkuster.com. And that's also my website, www.michaeltkuster.com. And don't forget to follow my Substack, Martians and Lasers.
Mm-hmm. And you write wonderful articles. Every one of them is just terrific. You did write one right after the event, and you call it the Survival Guide, with great tips for next year's winners. And everyone who wins next year, they need to read that, Michael.
Yes, they do.
We reposted that, in fact, at Writers of the Future, so others can read it.
Yeah, I saw that today. And Nathan, where can we find you, follow you, and what have you got coming up next?
So what's coming up next, sadly, there's, you know, some big things, you might say, that I'm not allowed to talk about. Or I don't know if I'm even allowed to talk about.
He's vague with all that in the writing business.
Exactly. But one thing I can talk about slightly is I am working on the Fantasy RPG Pathfinder, which is one of the biggest fantasy RPGs in the United States. So I'm doing work for that that game as we speak. But you can find me on my website, www.artofnathandiewert.com, as well as Instagram at art_of_diewert. That is DEIWERT. And on Blue Sky, which is the, you can just look up Art of Diewert, all one word, and then it's like the .bsky, .social type thing with how they do their usernames from the earlier days of Blue Sky being a thing.
Yeah, that's great. And what about
John and Emily?
John and Emily.
Oh, what do we have? Well, and next week, I think we're going to the Independent Book Publishers Association Publishing University. We're doing some work with some of the publishers out there. And then we have Comic-Con San Diego coming up. And then we have a Fan Expo in Canada. And then we have Dragon Con in Atlanta. And it looks like we will have both Michael and Nathan at Dragon Con this year. And they'll be doing panels there. And we'll be on the panels as well.
And then we have FanX in Salt Lake City.
Yeah, FanX in Salt Lake City. And probably a whole lot of other things in between.
And then December.
December.
That's how we met you.
We're going to see you in Vegas in December.
We want to talk to you about that. We love it. We probably could only get away for like 2 days, but we would love to join you at your booth at NFR.
Yeah.
So I don't know you would need us, but we just think it'd be wonderful to just be there with you and all the Westerns. Yeah.
And we can't forget the Christmas parade.
And November, the Christmas parade. You have that coming up.
Yes, we're going to do some of the sci-fi shows before all of that comes about.
Yeah.
In terms of finding us.
Yeah, finding you.
You can find us on writersofthefuture.com is a one-stop shop for all things Writers of the Future and Illustrators of the Future. That's, you can enter either contest. You can see the all the past years of the events. You can see all the blogs, including the one that Mike just posted. We have the podcast that I hold. We have a free online forum that you can join. And it wins each year the best writers forum in the United States. We've done it, I think, 4 years, 5 years in a row. And then we have the free online writing workshop that Emily produced. And we got over 10,000 people on that now.
Oh, my gosh.
It's very, very popular. So there you got writersofthefuture.com. And then we've got, for all of our social pages, it's at WOTF Contest. So Writers of the Future. So WOTF Contest is Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. We have a YouTube page, Writers of the Future. And
they're all across the planet and in cyberspace, aren't you?
Yes, exactly. And one thing that the four of us guests are all concentrating on right this moment is the 42nd anthology, Writers of the Future, Volume 42. It literally just released 2 days ago, and you can get that anywhere books are sold. And even if you want to go support your local independent bookstore, they can order books in. Maybe even if they don't have it in the store yet, they can order it in. You can go to Barnes & Noble, Amazon.
Books A Million, Indigo.
Yeah, wherever books are sold.
Just get it.
It's available.
Just get it, right? Just get it.
Audio
or your local bookstore.
Exactly.
Jim has a quote. I think we have time, honey. Well, he has a quote from the story.
We'll try to read it fast. This is from Living Color. Now, the quote. As we locked eyes, the killer lowered his voice, though his tone was sharp as a knife. You and me, we're the future, Chief. Humanity has its time, and look what they did with it. Social media and rap music, twerking and all the rom-com nonsense the lowest, most worthless minds could come up with, polluting their brains, polluting ours, don't you see? He went on, rising to his feet, throwing out his arms. none of it matters.
You got to read this story. Well, thank you all for being with us tonight. Thank you to Sam Hassan, our engineer and owner of LA Talk Radio, who helps make everything run smoothly. You can catch this episode 182 again on whatever you're watching right now. It'll replay immediately, or catch it on Podbean Audio later tonight. And we want to thank our sponsors, Blue Cottage Agency and Clicks by Madison and the Hot Texas Swing Band and all of you. And then join us next week as we kick off May. Henry Park, film editor for True West Magazine, is always with us the first Thursday of the month, and he's back. And 2026 Spur award-winning author Mark Archuleta, who's been waiting months to be on the show. We're so excited he'll be with us with his biography of the real thrilling events of bank robber Henry Starr. Join us again this week. And
as we always say, it's always a great day out west.
And
keep reading.
Keep writing.
We'll keep reading.
Keep illustrating. Keep publishing. And we'll keep. And we'll keep reading, and we'll see you down the trail.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Good night. Have a good night.